Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hey, Lake Life, and welcome to our Lake Life Weekend podcast. My name is Dirk, I'm your host, and we are approaching weekend 22 already. A great season opener this past Memorial Day weekend. It was beautiful out, and I saw so many boats, so many people getting ready, planting flowers. I was driving around a lot, saw a beautiful classic car by Lake Lida. I shared a picture on Facebook and Instagram. It was really nice, and I did some road trips. I also was in Detroit Lakes for the Memorial Day Parade, and that was beautiful. And there was another classic car parade included, kind of unbelievable. I took my dad with, who's visiting from Germany right now, and we had a good time. So I hope you did too, and I hope you're excited for this upcoming weekend. There's so much happening. Please always check our website, lakelifeweekend.com. All the events in the area are published there, and we have many, many more stories and road trips, recipes, all kinds of tips and tricks around lake life. So please enjoy. Feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com with ideas and things to share. And I don't want to keep this any longer for our interview. We have Dusty Ebertswiller from the Trowbridge Creek Zoo with us with an update and insights about his animal collection. So stay tuned and enjoy this weekend with the Trowbridge Creek Zoo and Dusty Ebertswiller. Thank you for listening. Yeah, hello. I'm here with Dusty Ebertswiller from the Trowbridge Creek Zoo by Virgis. Hello, Dusty.
Hey, Dirk. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah. Before we talk about animals, the zoo, which I always pass on Highway 17 going to Detroit Lakes, right? Leaving
right.
Virgis.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and why did you start a zoo?
I'm originally from right there in Virgis. Grew up on a dairy farm and been farming most of my life, and a lot of hard work with that. And
your house is located on that property?
It's just west of the farm, or west of the zoo.
Okay.
Farm is, yeah.
So the it is a family property?
Correct, yep.
Ah, okay.
Yep. The whole zoo used to be a hay field and cattle pasture.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
And then how did you come to open a zoo? What's your connection to animals besides the farm?
Well, this all started as a hobby, really. I started with a couple white-tailed deer when I was 15, and from there I got some elk and fallow deer, and kept getting a couple different things every year, and started getting out of control. So
so the city boy and me, we had a hamster and we had a rabbit, maybe a cat or a dog, and you started to raise a deer at the age of 15 and
yep.
became a collector, I think you call yourself.
Yeah.
An animal collector.
Yep. I like having multiple stuff, and I got a wish list of critters I'd like to have someday. And
You breed them?
Yeah, most of them.
Most of them.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe let's start out and zoom in to the zoo. How big of an area is it? How many animals? And how do one open a zoo? Like, how big is the zoo?
Right now, I think we're on 10 acres that's fenced in. We are expanding this year. I need to fence in more of the property to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And we're over 40 different species
mm-hmm.
of animals, and head count is probably around 200, I'm thinking. I haven't counted lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a lot of mouths to feed.
Sounds like a lot of work. How did you get inspired to really make the layout, or tell us a little bit about the process of establishing the zoo? How old is it? 2 years now?
We're going into our third year, so
third
we've
year.
Had two seasons already. I guess, you know, just visiting lots of other zoos, you know. Mm-hmm. I got friends with zoos as well, and, you know, go check out their place, and just kind of,
How many zoos do we have in Minnesota?
Minnesota? I'd say around half a dozen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got the big one, you know, Minnesota Zoo, Como Zoo down in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small zoo up in Bemidji, mm-hmm. Paul Bunyan Animal Land. There's a new one, a couple years older than me, in Brainerd, Safari North Wildlife Park.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Sioux Falls has a Hemker Park and Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other small ones. You know, I think there's a small one in Rochester. And
is it like a network? Do you communicate with each other?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know,
exchange
animals, trade, buy, sell, you know. Hey, where do you get your feed cups or your merchandise from, your t-shirts and stuff like that? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Always throwing ideas back and forth. And
so a friendly connection.
Right.
Interesting. Yep.
And that goes for animal health as well. You know, if say Carl Camel is having
a cough
or something, you know, and I've never dealt with that. Well, I call my other buddies with camels and see if they have. And, you know, sometimes you can get an answer quicker with your friends than calling the vet. You know,
mm-hmm.
Vet's got to look it up and figure stuff out and stuff. But
yeah.
So
interesting. So 2 years ago, you opened your doors to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that? Like, was it already 10 acres?
Yeah. Our opening year, we were the 10 acres. As it is right now.
Okay.
We've added a few things within that. But yeah, it's, you didn't know. I have no idea what to expect. You know, it's my first zoo. And
how many people came?
First year, we had 10,000.
Really?
Yep.
And has it been growing since?
It has. Last year, we had 16,000.
16,000 visitors in a year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That is a lot of people.
It is. Yeah.
Fascinating.
So I'm my goal this year is 20, actually.
Really?
So.
Oh, people should get ready to come by, huh?
Yep.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, I did not know how successful that was.
Yeah.
So tell us a little, what's the main attraction or what's like your most favorite animal?
Honestly, favorite animals are the petting zoo, the sheep and goats.
Okay.
Yeah, or any other baby animals we have at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you can get the closest, or why?
Yeah, closest, hands-on feeding, and I don't know, people are just attracted to goats for some reason.
Yeah. Okay.
But other than that, I'd say the camels and camel rides are pretty popular.
You have camel rides?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and you can come ride Carl or Clyde the camel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And does a lot of people try that out, or are they scared?
I'd say around 20% try it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly kids, but
yeah.
A few adults in there too.
Yeah. I sat on a camel once in Tunisia, actually, and it was awkward going up because it goes up, or something like a scissor, right? It goes.
Yeah. The back feet go up first, and then the front.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It has a little wobbly, so you really got to hold tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So that means you have, on an average weekend, a few hundred people visit you.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and even our weekdays are, you know, it's not uncommon to get 100 people every day. And
yeah, I guess with the summer and the visitors, the guests in the area, the vacationing.
Yep.
Yeah. So behind the scenes, like an ordinary day, I mean, it must be a lot of work to operate a zoo.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, any business, really. You know, there's more that goes on than what everybody else thinks, you know. In the mornings, we, you know, during the season, you know, we start off, we feed the animals that other people, our visitors, can't feed, like porcupines and wolves and bobcats and stuff like that. And we get that stuff taken care of. And then
In the morning,
yep. You know, go around, make sure everybody's doing good and happy and everything.
Do you talk to the animals?
I do. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Okay.
Like if they're misbehaving, you know, you gotta yell at them. Like right now, the camels are just rubbing on the fence and kind of destroying their pen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. but they'll get over it.
Puberty.
Right. Yeah, they're both teenagers. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so that might be it. Yeah.
Interesting. The age is a factor, yeah?
Yeah.
On the behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just threw that out there. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yep. And then, by 10 o'clock, or, you know, usually get out there a little bit before 10 to be ready for people. And then, during the day, we sell the feed cups for people to feed the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And
what is a feed cup? What's in it?
Corn, oats, and a protein pellet.
Okay.
It's kind of a general blend for all the hoof stock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not directed to a specific animal, just kind of a general blend. And
okay.
Works out pretty well. And, we do the camel rides when needed, and yeah.
And then how, the pasture they're called, the pens?
Yep.
Yeah. So they live in there for all the summer, and the winter they're in a different, you build a shed, I think, or they're
sheltered? Yep, we got a couple heated barns that the warmer weathered animals go in and stuff, yeah.
And do you go in all the pens with the animals? Like the wolves,
most,
you cannot go in, right?
Oh yeah, I can, yeah. Yeah, we hand raise the wolves and,
oh
yeah, I go in there all the time.
Oh, so they are friendly?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're big dogs, disobedient, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I would have been scared. And you also have some little crocodiles or something.
Alligators.
Or alligators.
Yep.
But can you go in there?
I go in there.
Do they snap?
If they're hungry, they'll walk towards you and
really?
Look for food. But.
Oh, they cannot harm you? They're too small?
They're not going to eat me alive. You know, they might try and bite me, but, you know, I know how, you know, you just keep your eye on them and, you know, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And what would be the most exotic animal?
Most exotic? It's something new to the zoo this year. We got a herd of paired David deer.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is.
They're extinct in the wild. And like we've talked before, collection of animals. This is why this species has survived throughout the years right now. So the story with paired David deer is in the 1860s, there was a French missionary named Père is French for father. So Father David, and that's how they got the name. But he was doing missionary work in China.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across a Chinese emperor's private hunting preserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming it was, brick walls and stuff, like the Great Wall of China, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had thought to be extinct at that point. So this Father David came across this private herd of these deer, which the Chinese call milieu.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw them, and he's like, okay, we got to do something about this, you know. So he talked the emperor into letting them take 5 of the deer to Europe for displaying and breeding and whatnot. And it's a good thing he did, because shortly after, there was a huge flood in China and wiped out the emperor's entire herd.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, no.
So all the paired David deer in the world today originated from them 5.
Oh, fascinating.
Yep.
And how many were they able to raise up again? Is there a count? Is it like 30,000 worldwide?
I know, I'd say there's probably more in the U.S. than anywhere else in the world. I know in China they made another wildlife sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
and they had around 1,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And some have escaped and gotten back into the wild, mm-hmm. but the local farmers just, you know, consider them a nuisance, really.
Do they look different than a deer? Like, is it
red?
What's
They're actually like a pretty bronze color.
Uh-huh.
I really like them. They're bigger than like our whitetails. They're more like the size of an elk.
Uh-huh.
And their tines point backwards.
Uh-huh.
So every other deer species, the tines point forwards.
Forwards, yeah.
But these, they go, like the brow tines, they go straight back. And their season is a little bit different as well. They start having babies in April, whereas like our deer and elk are May, June.
Yeah.
So it's a little off. And antler growth, they drop their hard antler in December, start growing right away. And just right now, this past week, they're starting to shed their velvet. They're fully grown and Mm. So, yeah.
So everything is a little bit different.
Yep.
But they are the deer family.
Yep, which is DNA. Cervids, yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The deer family, yeah.
So that's new. And where, and there's herds in the United States, you said?
Yep, there's a lot of them down south. I mean, down south, there's a lot of exotics all over, really.
But in the wild, too, or just in preserves?
In Texas, there's some running wild.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, a ranch in Texas might be 30,000 acres or something, you know, just huge. So, you know,
they may be private.
They probably never leave the property, really.
Okay.
Yeah. And sure. There are some, you know, high fence ranches down there as well. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, fascinating. So we have 40 species, you said, I think, 200 headcount animals. So a few per. I really like the parrots. I think you have quite a big parrot herd or collection there.
Yeah.
12 or something.
The macaws, we got 8 macaws, a couple Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
We have a cockatoo, which is usually by the gift shop. He hasn't been out yet this year. It's been a little cold.
Mm-hmm.
And later this summer, we're adding a parakeet house where people can actually get a feed stick, go in with the parakeets, and parakeets will land all over you and
really
eat off the feed stick. And yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So that's going to be an addition this year?
Yep. Probably, I'm going to guess late June by the time I get that up and ready. So.
In that same location up where the shelter is and the parrot?
That's going to be between our gift shop and the new barn.
Okay.
If you're familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah, so a little outside kind of, like right by the entrance.
Right, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what else is expected? You have a pond or there nearby too?
Yep.
Like, is that going to be part of the zoo eventually?
I think that's on schedule for next year.
Mm.
Like I said, I got fence in more of the property and... For that, we're going to build a big pier going out on it and have some koi fish and geese and swans and ducks and all sorts of stuff out there.
So there's another few phases to the... So you have this year, you're going to add the walk-in birdhouse?
Yep.
And then what else is coming this year?
This year? Tough to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that'll be, you know...
A little bit. And
yep.
Then next year, you're probably going to go on the pond.
Yep.
And
pond and probably more of a nature trail in the wooded area as well. And
also a little walk that you can take.
Yep.
Okay, so how many total acres is the goal for the zoo?
The goal is 40 acres.
Oh, that's quite big.
For the walkthrough part. I have dreams in the future of adding a drive-through park as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a long ways away yet.
Yeah, that sounds big.
Yeah.
What's the season like? You just opened a few weeks back.
Last weekend, yep. We're open weekends in May until Memorial Day weekend. Then we go 7 days a week all summer. And after Labor Day, you know, back to school. Kids are busy, so we go back to weekends until late October or gets too cold out.
Okay. So you have pretty much a good half year of season where beginning and end, like spring and fall, you have the weekends only, and in the summer peak, you have every day.
Every day, yep.
Every day, 7 days a week.
Yep.
Okay. And what's the most native or like is there like local animals? So we have Minnesota deer.
We got white-tailed deer. We got bobcats, raccoons, North American porcupines. Tundra wolf isn't quite native. You know, wolves are kind of native, but tundra wolf is more of a northern wolf than around here. But
how many wolves?
Yeah. We got 4 adults. And we just sent a baby wolf out yesterday, actually. He is going down to Florida at Emerald Coast Zoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
You bred the wolves?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yep.
But, and we got one going up to Bemidji later this week, and we still got a few puppies that'll be around for people to see and hold and take pictures with.
You can hold them?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Wolf always sounds so dangerous, but
it sounds dangerous, but, you know, it's really just a dog, you know, if you hand raise them and, spend time with them.
You hear those stories that wolves raised a human and then...
Yeah.
You hear the other way around.
Yep.
Now you raise the wolf into your they are herd animals, I guess, you know, right? They follow the family.
Yeah, then. Pack animals.
Pack, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yep.
Pack animals. Yeah. Well, so a good 10 acres, 16,000 visitors last year. Your goal is 20,000 visitors. That's really fascinating. You just grew the collection. What else can I expect when I come? Is there something, I mean, camel rides? What else can I expect as a visitor? So do I take, is it a good 1 hour, 2 hour visit?
Typically, I'd say 1 to 1.5 hours, mm-hmm. you know, depending how, you know.
Fast I go?
Yeah.
But
if you take your time and, you know, read the signs and educate yourself a little bit on them and look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get some people now and then, they just speed walk right through and, you know, I don't.
But I can expect, especially with kids, a good 1.5 hours.
Yep.
I mean, they.
Yep. I mean, we got a playground, picnic shelter. You know, a lot of people bring lunch and.
Okay,
lunch
so
out
I
there.
Can spend a good afternoon there and.
Yep.
And I have a little picnic area. Okay. Yeah. Right. And a little playground. Yeah. I can see it now. What is your feedback from the visitors?
It's been a lot of good feedback. Really not much negative, you know.
They enjoy it?
Yeah.
Is there any, like, environmental concerns or, like, not environmental, but are they all healthy, the animals, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you get that many, there's going to be, you know, somebody's going to get a rash or something or, you know, scratch
yeah,
or something.
Okay,
you know.
I get a rash too, but, like, do you think they are mentally okay?
Yeah, I mean, we get a... You know, we do enrichment stuff with them as well, you know.
Explain
like,
that.
Like a simple thing would be to hide their food in their enclosure somewhere. Mm-hmm. And make them, you know, kind of hunt for it. Or
find it?
Yeah, find it. Like our lemurs, we can do like a puzzle box with a treat inside of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, they got to figure out this puzzle to get their treat. And
oh, yeah, okay. So some mind practice?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
And that is good for them.
Yeah.
To stay, not that they don't get bored or something.
Yeah, mentally healthy. Yeah.
Mentally healthy.
Yep.
So you really engage it. So it's not, you take care of each individual one. They have all like a certain treatment. Or like a, like you said, like one has a puzzle and one you make it hunt. So you engage with each individual animal the way it should.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yep.
And I think in the winters, you do exercise them, right? So you kind of get them walking. They have to move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they endure the winter here? Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. You're now like the indoor animals or outdoor animals? Like indoor, you know, to get them, you know, they got their pens, indoor pens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like a couple times a week, we got to clean that pen. So we usually let them out and they run up and down the alleyway and,
yeah,
you know, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to keep that clean. Like, do you have to go in each pen and clean it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Did you know what you were getting into?
I kind of did. I mean, it is more work than I thought it'd be, but, you know.
Is your family backing you up? They help?
Yeah, yep. You know, my wife helps mow and take care of the flowers. And actually, this winter... I had a surgery in February and my wife took over all the feeding and ran the show for a while.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
You have children too, don't you?
Yeah, I got 6 kids.
Oh, can they all help?
The older ones help. There's 6 oldest is 12, youngest is going to turn 5 this summer. So
okay,
kind of a range there. And yeah, the older ones, they help out in petting zoo and do some feeding, grass trimming.
Are they little animal experts already?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. Even my 6-year-old, he goes to school and he tells his teachers, educates his teachers on animals, really.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So I guess they can all bring their class for a tour.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Do you have group tours? Do you have guided tours?
We do, we get quite a few school groups in. If they want a guided tour, I can do that. Or if I'm busy, you know, one of my kids can do that. And yeah.
So are you available if I have questions and educate myself a little bit more about the displays?
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be interesting, I suppose, for some people. Yeah. What else would you like to share? Do you have a story, something that happened with something that, I don't know, a breakout? Did an animal break out and you had to catch it, or?
Breakout. We had a squirrel in our heated barn. He got out of his winter pen and was running wild in the barn and
and caused some trouble.
Yeah, he chewed into a couple feed bags and made a mess and yeah, but we got him back and
oh yeah. So you have squirrels.
We have it's called a Provost squirrel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's white, black, and kind of a brown color.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Native from where?
Asia.
Oh, it's an Asian.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty different looking, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the most, what do you enjoy most? Like, which animal talks most to you? Interacts with me?
That would definitely be the camels, you know. They you know, and I, you know, especially in the summer doing camel rides, I work with them every day, and, you know, they just got a personality, and, you know, I'm working with the camel. He's not working for me. I'm working with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're probably the most trained out of all the animals. You know, we can tell them to lay down and, you know.
Are they kind of like horses then? Are they? Because horses can be well trained,
yeah,
right? I mean, you can.
Yep. Yes and no. I mean, yeah, they're.
Are they smarter, you think?
I think they're smarter.
Uh-huh.
No offense to horse people, but I think they're smarter. But yeah.
What's the culture, or what is the special about a camel? What is it, you know, like a mule is a carrying
pack animal.
Pack animal.
Yep.
And then what does the camel do for a purpose? What are we doing? I think of the Sahara.
Well,
in the
the Middle East, Africa, you know, they are still kind of a pack animal for the natives there, you know, they going across the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how camels actually started in the U.S. I think it was World War I, I think, in the southwestern, you know, U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The horses and donkeys weren't making across the desert, so they brought in some camels, and camels could make the trip across the desert.
Uh-huh.
So that's how they first got started. I think they had 70 of them that they shipped in from Africa.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, but packing, even transporting humans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, been kind of domesticated for a long time.
Isn't there two different ones? One has one of the back things and one has two?
Yep, one hump and two humps.
What is the difference?
One humps are, like I said, the Middle East, India, Africa. Those are called dromedary.
Mm-hmm.
And easiest way to remember that is dromedary starts with a D. D has one hump. Dromedary camels have one hump. Okay?
Yeah.
And the other kind of camel is called a Bactrian camel.
Oh.
Those are Asian. And B has two humps.
Oh, okay.
Bactrian camels have two humps.
So. Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
And these are from Asia?
Yes.
Are they smaller?
They're bigger.
Oh, they are bigger?
Yep. Yep, they're big. They're a little bit longer, a little bit taller, heavier.
In those humps, isn't there water in those humps, or is it a reserve?
It's stored fat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of people think it's water, but it's...
So it's stored. Energy, right?
Right.
It's an energy reserve.
Yep.
For them.
Yep. So, yeah, it's like a fuel tank, really. You know, when they got to go across the desert and have no water for a few days, you know, they break into that fat supply and use that up.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the humps don't... They aren't going to disappear or anything, but, you know...
It's a resource.
Right.
Really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the most fascinating thing about animals to you?
To me? Ooh. That's a tough question, really.
Yeah, I don't know, but like for me, it's really the wonder of nature, like those details, you know, like how nature... calculated or prepared a species to do such things.
Sure.
You know, like, it's it's a wonder, or I don't know. Maybe I'm just it's, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's something fascinating. Yeah,
right.
That we learn that our body can do so many things, and you know, our brain is that big, and we use it only by like 15% or something. I don't know, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So animals are fascinating creatures, and they all kind of have a purpose, right? I mean, like, they do certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, some eat insects, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, is there something that you learned by collecting that, like, that you fascinated you?
Fascination point would be with kangaroos, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The female kangaroo can be almost pregnant her whole life, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can have one in the pouch, and they can put a pregnancy on hold. So they can be pregnant, hold that baby until the one in the pouch is big enough to leave the pouch, and then they'll have the baby. And then they can get bred back right away and hold it if they need to. And yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So imagine, you know, putting your baby on hold, you know.
And they monitor that? Or they control that?
Yeah.
Hormones control it, I guess.
Hormones. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
The body knows. Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
What is a crocodile good, or an alligator? What is the purpose of an alligator? Just cleaning the water streams?
I would say so. I mean, yeah, they clean up a lot of dead fish or whatever. I guess, you know. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, the world of wonders, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. One final question, maybe. Growing up in Lakes Country, living in Lakes Country, what is lake life to you?
I'd say fishing.
Oh, fishing?
Yeah. I don't get out as much as I used to, but...
So your special connection to Lakes Country and this area, obviously, is the lake and then the connection fishing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you like it to be by yourself calm, or actually the catch? You know, like, everybody connects to a lake differently.
Yeah.
Some like swimming, some like boating, some like fishing, but I guess fishing could be... So what is it? Is it being quiet on a lake, on a boat, or?
I'd say the anticipation of the catch.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So the thrill, anticipation.
Yeah.
Okay. And the success.
Rare.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Good. Well, thank you very much. We heard a lot about your zoo operation, and we're excited to see it grow. I'm really fascinated that you have so many visitors. I'm glad. So I hope we reach some people that have been there and are looking forward to some additions in the future and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming out, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.